Oh yeah, it's another one. Ooh. And another one. Welcome to another episode of the Rich Dream Show Pod. I am the Big Show, alongside with my co-host G underscore Fades.
What's poppin', man? What's poppin'?
We appreciate y'all for coming out with us for another episode, man. Brought to you by none other than the Fantabulous, the Stupendous, the fastest growing network, the Now Legacy Network. You understand me? The number one place for you to come get you some of that underground cultural experience. You can find a bunch of great interviews. You can find a bunch of different podcasts, i.e. The Rich Dream Show and others, Q-Talk, Sports Anonymous. Everything that you want is there for you at the Now Legacy. Make sure you tapping in. Oh, man. Of course, want to start off by thanking our other sponsor, Rich Dreams, of course. Rich Dreams Apparel brand, man. Make sure you tapping in with Rich Dreams Apparel on our social media handles. Everything can be found.
What the fuck that was? Oh, okay.
Well,
don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, everything can be found at the Rich Dreams Universe. That's right. It ties everything in together. I'll give you some other eye plugs, networks that we have during the show. But that's the main one that you need to know, the Rich Dreams Universe. And of course, if you look down below, that's the handle to get where you can buy Rich Dreams online, etsyshop.com or etsy.com/shop/Rich Dreams. Man, it is another blessed day, man. Got a great show for y'all lined up today. But first and foremost, we always like to tap in. G, how you living? You good, my boy?
Man, everything been good, man. Can't complain.
Okay. You know, did you wear your green yesterday, man?
Did I do what?
Did you wear your green yesterday?
Did I do what?
Did you wear your green, man? St. Patty's.
Wear green?
Yeah, did you wear your green?
I'm afraid not, man. I didn't wear any green, you know.
And didn't get pinched either, huh?
Sure didn't.
No, don't be too many pinches around you, huh?
Nah, man. Not like that.
Hey, that's good on you, mate. Good on you.
What about you, man? I know you wore something up at the job, man, or what?
Nah, man. Yesterday was Sunday, so
I usually don't go up there
on Sunday.
That's right.
But nah, man. I mean, you know, I keep the green on me. That just so happens to be my favorite color. So
okay.
Green stay around. I don't have to worry about those type of things.
Gotcha.
It'll just be another day. Man, it has been some, I'm gonna say weird, but it's been some nice couple of days here lately, man. Been some nice springtime weather going on.
It's been okay. A little rain last week, but you know, it's been all right.
It did turn up on us a little couple storms.
Yeah.
See, man, you had an interesting topic that you brought up today, man, for RLS. It was some that we sort of touched on in our last Love Day 2 episode that we dropped. Shout out to Joyce Mack. Shout out to Real Lisa for joining us on that episode. Make sure y'all go back and watch that if you haven't. Dope episode, some dope ladies. So I guess we just jump right into it, my boy.
Let go.
We talking about it today. That's right. Is marriage still important in this day and age, in 2024, where everybody is outside and more than likely is a hoe? You like that? I just made it up right
there. That's all right, right there.
I don't know about that.
That's all right. I like that.
I think the consensus that we came to on the when we kind of discussed it on the show, in my eyes, I was kind of leaning towards more so the no end.
You were saying that it wasn't important?
Yeah. Okay. Just in the aspect of it doesn't necessarily need to happen to like complete a lifestyle like it did back in the day. Okay. I feel like if you were going to be some type of success, it was on some, you had to have somebody by your side, or it would just be, you couldn't get into certain social circles or things of that nature, which is still somewhat like that today. But I think it's a more of an open space to where people can be independently on their own and still have, you know, still reach milestones and things like that. A lot of people don't even keep their marriages in the public eye, I feel like.
Well, I don't think it was ever a thing of like you needed to be married to be successful, or I definitely believe that you, it goes better for you if you're married. You know, if you're in the corporate world and you're trying to, you know, meet different people out in the field, in your field, you know, through parties and all, it definitely looks better if you have, you know, a wife or a husband, significant other, mm-hmm. to that level. But I don't think you really needed it for success. I'm not one of those that believe the wife is always the reason for a man's success, or and vice versa.
Behind every great man, there's a better woman, huh?
I don't believe that. I think it can be true. I think it can be true in some cases, but I don't think that, like, that is the thing. Like, you have to have a woman, or, you know, or a wife, rather, or a husband to be successful. I think you have to have a great partner or spouse, rather, to have tranquility, good okay. balance, great okay. balance.
Peace.
You know, I think that's definitely something you need, somebody, a good spouse in your corner for those things. But as far as being successful, nah, man, I don't think you need a spouse to be successful, though.
But somebody needs to be by your side.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I just don't believe so. I think that's two different things in my opinion, or they can be. It all depends on the ambition of the person that you know, that's doing it. You get what I'm saying? So, that's just how I look at it.
Okay. I think it's definitely one of those things.
Don't get me wrong. Don't think. It helps if you have somebody that's a support system there to, you know, do different things for you for your business or some, you know, some along those lines. But I don't think it's a necessity. That's all I'm saying.
Well, case in point, I get from coworkers a lot. Oh man. You don't know how good you got it. You don't have to answer nobody, blah, blah, blah. You ain't nobody telling you what to do.
Right.
Me being, of course, on the single end of it, I see it as, man, you talking about how lucky I am. Man, you got a partner.
Partner.
Yeah. You got somebody that all those times that where you don't feel like doing something or you can't because availability, you got somebody to call up and be like, hey, I need you to go do such and such, or I need you to help with such and such.
Right.
When you by yourself, like literally you by yourself, like I have to take on everything in my household at all times. Now granted, I will say I feel like it's less situational things that I do have to deal with because there's not other parties involved,
right?
But you know, everybody got life stuff.
Right.
And I'm not here to say it's, you know, easier one way or the other. I think they all have their plights.
I think it's pros and cons. You know, it's like Andre used this. He said this in the Drake song with him and Wayne on Take Care. He was like, basically, I can't remember the exact lines, but basically it was like the single guys in the club looking at the married guys.
Look up to us.
We lust for trim and they lust for trust or something like that.
Right.
So it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like, it's cousin pros to East Side, because, you know, if I'm a guy that's married, of course, you know, a lot of times the wife nag and the wife wants you to do this, you know, wife wants you to do that or whatever. And you looking at it as a married man, and you got a single homie or a single coworker that you're cool with, and you just looking at him like, man, you ain't got to worry about none of this when you get home, bro. You get to go home to peace. Yeah, man. And so, you know, and like you say, the single guy looking at it like, man, you got a partner. Like, you got somebody that can pick up your slack. You got somebody, you know, that's always there. You're never alone, you know, whatever. But like I say, it's pros and cons to both sides.
Big facts. Yeah. When we say important, are we talking about in terms of sustainability for a personal lifestyle? Are we talking about in terms of just being a happy person? I mean, for a family aspect, it does seem like it would be important for sure.
So what I was thinking about more so is like, is it a thing of importance as far as just traditionally speaking, like, okay, how, you know, how we value marriage more 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago versus now, you know, a lot of people nowadays would say, well, you know, women had to get married. You know how, you know, it's a thing of like, back then we were married at a higher rate and stayed together longer, or, you know, stayed together period more so than now.
Yeah.
A lot of people would say back then it was just a different time, and, you know, most women needed that man for financial support, so they didn't leave, and, you know, they dealt with different things as far as infidelity and, you know, of course, some women was getting hands put on them and stuff like that. So, you know, that was a big reason why they didn't leave. And now, fast forward to nowadays, it's, you know, a woman can make just as much money as a man, depending on the industry they're in. You know, they can make just as much or more. So that the financial part is out of the door when we talk, the level of equal opportunity it is today versus back then, as far as in the workforce.
And to be clear, women, we understand that y'all still deal with.
Oh, man, come on, man. We know that, man.
You got to put the disclaimers in there, man. You know they be coming.
But I'm generalizing, like, you know,
right.
It can be a situation where we know women, they get the short end of the stick a lot, especially at these corporate jobs. I know of a couple, so, you know, I get it. But generally speaking, it can happen like that, to where, you know, a woman in a company is making more than a man, or just as much. Yeah. So I'm just looking at it along the lines of, like, with that, with women being able to be self-sufficient to where financially they may not need a man, is it still important? And even for the men that feel like, you know, what's the use of having a woman? Like you say, well, she just going to be telling me what to do and doing this, and, you know, she might be cheating on me, you know, whatever your fears are, about getting married. I just wonder, you know, is it like still any substance to having a marriage, to having that foundation, to having, you know, one day when you have kids, to have, you know, your kids look at the house like,
right,
that's home. Like, right, I can go, when he or she go off to college, she come back home for the holidays and eat with the fam. You know, I believe all of those are still important, me personally. But to me, how I'm just looking at society today, it seems as if a lot of people don't really care to have that or even care to have a family. It's like, it's whatever. Like, if we have a family, we have one. If we don't, we don't. It's like, it's almost as if, and I know it's important for each person to have happiness.
Sure.
But I think we are sometimes too selfish when, let's say, it's a family. It's family involved. It's kids involved. It's years of being together, years of being married, or years of being in a marriage, and it's kind of like, you know, we'll get a divorce for irreconcilable differences. I can't say if these people are exhausting all options on trying to stay together or not. I can't say that, but you know, I highly doubt a lot of them are. I highly doubt a lot of them are going to couples counseling, doing self-therapy and then doing couples therapy or whatever. I highly doubt a lot of those couples are doing it. I could be wrong though, but
yeah. It's a weird thing, man, because it's like, I feel like you can say an argument for both ends of the spectrum. I mean, with most things, but you could say it's not as important because to a lot of people, it's not exactly what they're chasing anymore.
Right.
I feel like, you know, more so when younger people are coming up, like we're saying 20 to 50 years ago, that was more so like in the forefront of their minds. It's like, okay,
yeah,
I'm gonna go to college if that was your thing or whatever I'm doing in my life. But more often than not, I'm looking for my person type thing. Whereas now I think the goal has shifted to where most people are in the forefront thinking about, where do I fit in the world? What's my niche? What do I need to be doing? How can I be successful? And then, you know, hopefully I might find somebody on the way. But if I don't, hey, I'll be the rich auntie or rich uncle.
See, and I think that's the problem. And that's why I said finances. You know, I think that's the main thing. But you can have all the money in the world, bro. But in my opinion, if you don't have family, you don't have a kid to pour into, a spouse to pour into, I don't think you, in my opinion, that's not a fulfilled life. Some may think me just being successful and making all of the money that I can make, that's life. It gets no better than that. You know what I'm saying? Some people may think that. I'm sure it's a lot of people that think that. But we were built, I think, for sure, for our people, we were built off being a family, being together. We definitely got away from it, you know, which is why, you know, I asked the question. But I think that's our foundation of being together, you know? Like, you like to refer back to slavery time a lot. Like, yeah, we went through something, man. We had to stick together to get through that, to get past that, to get out of that, you know? So, I don't know, man.
I mean, speaking to that kind of, I guess, more self-centered mentality, is that kind of a result of the society we live in, though, where everybody... To a certain extent, we all out here trying to struggle to survive. I mean, it's not like it's easier to live, you know, these days. I mean, especially right now when we're dealing with this mass inflation.
Yeah.
And then a couple years ago when we're dealing with COVID. A pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, we have experienced, it just seems like the longer we go on, more difficulties in America and just the human race in general.
Right. But I think if anything, the way that the economy is right now, this should be even more reason to find somebody to settle down with and deal with versus being by yourself.
Yeah. Somebody to share that load, huh?
Man, listen, I'm trying to tell you, man, this is the best time. You know, but, you know, I think it's not only it's not only a financial thing, because if it was, more people would be together, especially going off the last, since COVID, yeah, last going on 4 years. You would have seen marriage rates rise. I'm not sure if they have. I'd have to look at the actual numbers. Mm-hmm. But if they haven't, I definitely believe it's just, I don't know, especially with the people in their 20s, and you know, and even when we was in our mid to early 20s, we didn't value, I know I didn't value mm-hmm. being in a relationship. Not at all. You know, I don't think, yeah, I was one relationship in my 20s.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't value, and that was early 20s. So I didn't really value being in a relationship. You know, people used to get in relationships, get married super early, shit, by 21.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They married and having kids, but I think it's just that era of, you know, we definitely, we want to party, we want to be out, and, you know, we want to date around, and, you know, until we're about 30. But I think definitely for women, I don't think it goes as well when you wait till 30 plus to start, you know, looking for a significant other, especially if you've had kids. That's not to knock any women that have kids, don't feel offended. I spoke about this before, you know, and that's not to say that there's not great women that have kids. I just think men sometimes, you know, would rather someone that don't have kids.
Yeah, so, I mean, it depends, you know, everything's situational.
Of course.
What I think
and
is,
it depends on the woman too. Like I always say, it depends on the woman.
Yeah. What I think causes the most issue with that is just it creates this sense of urgency that all the times I don't think is helpful when you're trying to choose a partner or dating with intentions. Because essentially it seems more and more it leads to, okay, you know, damn near after the first day. So what are we doing? And it's like, I just kind of met you.
Text you tomorrow.
right. But, you know, and at the same time, you know, women be like, hey, I don't have time to play around and see where it goes type of thing. So
now, are you talking about the women that are 30 plus? Is that what you're talking about right now?
Yeah. Well, you know, women and men.
Yeah.
I feel like men, you know, we.
I think men are. I don't think they're as pushy to be in a relationship. Overall,
I'm saying that's kind of what the issue is. If you're trying to date somebody in your same age range at this point, it's kind of gonna be a different antithesis, because I feel like the more it goes on, the man is looking like, okay, well, I done been through this and this and this and these previous relations. I'm really looking for somebody that's gonna fit the mold of what I want, or like, what's the point? Like we were saying earlier. Why would I add on to something if I just don't feel like it's the best thing for me? Where at this time, it seems like more women are going towards, okay, I'm trying to find a candidate that's ready to settle down, right, but also that's going to meet the criteria of what I want as well, which, you know.
Hey, that's a whole nother can of worms right there, boy. Right? We don't have no time, man. We don't have no time to talk about that one. Lord.
Yeah, man. I
think it just get unrealistic sometimes.
Yeah.
It gets unrealistic. Listen, you know her. I won't say her name.
But please,
you know her. You know her. You've met her before.
Okay.
On one occasion. I'll just say that.
Sure.
I don't want to give too much away. This is one of my partners. This woman met a guy one time. Now, she has 9 non-negotiables. When she see this, because I'm going to make a clip out of this, she's going to be tickled. So listen, she has 9 non-negotiables.
Okay.
She meet a guy.
All right.
Check it out. She meet a guy. He hit 8 of the 9.
And it's a dub?
8 of the 9. He hit 8 of the 9. She still found something wrong and stopped talking to him.
Damn.
Hey, man. First of all, to have 9 non-negotiables.
That's hey. Well, yeah, that's kind of crazy.
You can throw it. You rap, throw it.
You're not even. You're not even trying. You're not even trying, man.
But you know what, people. And I get on women, specifically women. They'll say if it's anything less than that, say they have 9 non-negotiables. Anything less than that is settling.
Yeah, you hear that word a lot too.
Come on, man.
I think that's another thing. There's such a big fear on both sides.
Nothing wrong with settling, though. What's wrong with settling? Listen, what's wrong with settling, bro?
Really?
Hear me out real quick.
Hold on, Mr. Chase Your Dreams. Tell us.
No. What I'm saying is, so my dream is to have a clothing brand that's, you know, nationwide popular. I'm able to feed my family. I'm able to pay y'all. I'm able to pay other workers by the end. Listen, to be able to take care of myself. Now, that's a goal. That has nothing to do with anybody else. So when you're dealing with people sometimes, like we said last time, like I think we were talking about on the last episode, you can only control what you can control. So right. My thing is, and what I say by settling, I mean, like, sometimes, like, she had 9 non-negotiables.
Yeah.
Let's trim it down to 4 or 5 or something. Let's trim it down something. Man, come on, 9?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And just really think about what's important.
I can already hear the, well... If they don't meet my 9 negotiables, that just mean they wasn't for me.
That's what that's how it goes. That's how it goes. And you keep that. I believe if you keep that attitude, you'll never probably won't ever find anybody.
Yeah. I think it's a fine line, man. It's a fine line between being selective and then just kind of having an unrealistic idea of what you can have as a means of, you know, just people in your area around you, access, your shortcomings that we always like to overlook. It's a lot. And I think the more people learn to look inward and realize, okay, obviously, these are things that I need to work on myself. You'll see and be a little bit more lenient to work with somebody else if they meet the big things. I think whatever your list is, if it's 9, 7 or whatever, I think you need to be able to chop 2 off to where it's like, okay, yeah, I said these were my non-negotiables, but I can live. I ain't gonna just be miserable if I meet somebody that don't got these few.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the thing is too. I think I'm gonna change my answer. I think marriage is important.
There you go.
Because it teaches a lot of lessons. It teaches compromise. It empowers you to work as a team, which it's, you know, it's funny to say, it's corny or whatever, but teamwork usually does make the dream work. You like that, straight off the middle school poster, man. But it's if we go back to biblical times, it's an important thing, you know. God made us for each other. I ain't gonna say made man for woman, because you know it's a lot of other entities out there that like to do marriage now. So but
God made for man and woman to get married. That's what it said in the good book, they call it, right?
That's what the text contextualizes.
Okay.
I ain't gonna say Jesus wrote it.
We can't rewrite the book. We can't keep rewriting it now. Goddamn. But haven't they kept rewriting it? how valid is it gonna be if we keep rewriting it, man? You know.
But haven't they kept rewriting it though?
That's what I'm saying. We gonna keep rewriting it. How valid is it gonna be?
I mean, if that's the case, what we how far we need to go back to the first rewrite, man? That's what I'll be saying.
So I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just saying what it's saying, you know.
If you follow that, I guess. Yeah, man. Like we said, marriage does have value. I'll say that. That'll be my closing argument on it. Marriage still does have value. It's definitely important in the family aspect, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Nah. I believe so too, man. I think that's something I for sure always, you know, whenever I always thought when I had kids, I wanted to have kids with someone that I could see myself, at least see myself marrying, if not married, you know. So I grew up in a household, you know, my mom, she was married for a couple of years, but she ended up getting a divorce. So I didn't really, you know, every day I wasn't seeing a married couple, and, you know, but that's something that's something I wanted eventually, you know, not just to get married. I'm talking like just the foundation of it, not just to get married to say I'm married, just the foundation of it, and the family aspect, because like I said, it's something that I didn't have.
Yeah.
But that don't mean I'm a Russian and just marry just cuz.
Here we go. Here we go. Right on that merry-go-round again.
No, but listen, but I'm just saying, that's how I always thought. You get what I'm saying? That's how I always thought. I was never just going to marry just because I wanted the family foundation. You know, that was the furthest thing that I was thinking of doing. But of course, within a relationship, it has to, you know, it has to be headed there, of course. But, you know, that's the end goal for sure. So I would definitely say it's important. You want your kids to grow up in an environment like that, man.
Yeah.
Why in the fuck would you want your kids to grow up in an environment where it's just you?
Right.
You know, or you and some other man. Nigga. You know what I'm saying? Some nigga that ain't your daddy, that ain't gonna never care about you as much as your real dad. If your dad, you know, if your real dad's in your life. Never.
Or, you know, just some random mom. Or some random chick. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
There's out here, you know, being that's a little half ratchet, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Letting bringing niggas in the house, and you know, you get, you know, your mama getting pounded out, and you can hear them in the room with some other nigga that ain't your daddy. Yeah, man. You know, inviting the kids in the room when the random nigga that just bust you down. Like, yeah, man. It's you know. You don't want that, man. You don't want
that. That is traumatic.
It is, right?
Gosh.
Hey, man. Some people out here, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, on the other end, though, like, I'm sure that'd be crazy for a little girl to see some random lady come over, get knocked down by pops. And then, I don't know how that would be out from her eyes. But,
yeah.
Yeah, all that's to say, man. I think the most important thing to take away is put yourself in a position to where I think you've experienced enough, dated enough to know yourself, know what you're looking for, and then do aspire to have a life partner to go through it with. I think that's a good takeaway. And beyond that, man, look out for us. That's right. Rich Dreams. We're going to be in Dallas April 13th. We're going to be partnering with our peoples, Ramirez Market. That's right. In the Redbird Mall. Man, we got this this dope pop up coming up. You know what? Y'all bear with me. I put the little finger up like they do in church, y'all. Give me a second. Yeah. All right, there we go. Yeah, man. April 13th, man. Look out for us. We're gonna be at Redbird Mall in the Red Bear Market. Got the net worth panel. It's gonna be us. It's gonna be a lot of other vendors out there. Even they even say it on the flyer, light hors d'oeuvres will be served. So you know this is a swank event. You understand me?
Not the hors d'oeuvres.
Hey man, pinky up. So yeah, man, come out, support Dallas area. I think it's going to be a lot of entrepreneurial tips and things that'll be shared. Great networking event. Make sure y'all pop out for that.
Yes, sir.
Of course, it is March. It is Women's History Month. And for a Women's History shout out this month, man, want to shout out Janice Burgess. I hope I'm saying her last name correctly. This is the creator of a show that kind of got famous on social media, The Backyardigans. A little child show. You might not know about it, G, but It's got pretty popular. And I think that's cool. You don't really see, I don't feel like Black people recognize for stuff like that. But she actually won 3 daytime Emmys for that. But unfortunately, she did just pass at the beginning of the month as well. So rest in peace to Miss Janice. But shout out to her for making history with The Backyardigans, man. I think a lot of these younger generations really grew up with that. I don't know if you remember the song. We're going on a trip in our favorite. That was a little Einstein, actually. I'm tripping. Man, they had a little popular Instagram song, but I can't think of it. I can't sing like that. But shout out to Miss Janice Burgess, man. Right?
Shout out.
Tell y'all again, man. Make sure y'all checking us out, man. Rich Dreams TV. If you don't catch the live stream on the Now Legacy Network every Friday at 7 p.m., you can back though. Go to YouTube, Rich Dreams TV. We got clips on there if you just got a second. Watch my shorts. What was the highlights of the show? Or you can watch full episodes, man. You got a minute. You want to see, you know, how we looking, which type of Rich Dreams attire that we got on that week. You can tap in with us on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Man. Let's get into this Black Business shout out as well. Kind of interesting one this week. So Black Business shout out for this week. As I find it, because I had it. Here we go. Honey Economics. This is an MC we got here. Interesting thing about this MC, she's the lady that is also a teacher, believe it or not. And apparently she's just gotten released from her duties as a teacher. For being a rapper. But here's her page, Honey Economics. And I listened to only one I listened to the TikTok where it had the report about her getting out of there. I only heard one curse word in the song, but it didn't seem like she was talking about anything too derogatory. The post and everything I see.
She's a DJ now, right?
I don't know what she does for work now. All I know is she was an MC. She might be a DJ though.
What do you mean, like she MC parties and stuff like that?
No, like rap, like spit.
Right. Like. Oh, she's a rapper. I thought. She,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking like an MC, like the people that MC parties and stuff.
No.
Okay.
Not like shout out, go MC Lil Chris. No, like a. She trying to be the next Cardi, the next Honey Cocaine, the next, you know. She dripping honey.
How old is she?
Good question.
Why would you think that, I don't mean, you know, I know this is the Black Business shout out, but why would you think that you can be a rapper Well, it must be the content, because which I want to bring. I want to bring him on the show. I want to bring him on the show at some point. Remember the guy that I sent you?
Yes.
Right. But with that being said, you have to be very careful about your rhetoric. You know, if you're cursing, yeah, your videos, if you're showing too much, you know, any nudity or any type of graphic content, like, come on, like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Maybe she just wanted to go full throttle in the rap game. I don't know.
Could be. In the post, she said she was, you know, very serious about her students and her work. She said she did a lot of stuff, you know, above and beyond the calling, as far as like taking care of kids, dropping them off, picking them up, buying food and things of that nature.
That ain't got nothing to do with it. And which that's good that she's doing it, but it's called professionalism. Because at all times you can't just do anything just because you're off. You're still working for the school system. You looked at as an educator, not a rapper. I mean, in their eyes, they're not looking at you like a rapper. They're looking at you like you're an employed educator. So with that being said, you have to set an example with your actions at all times. You can't get caught doing that. Like, you know, you can't get caught saying certain stuff or doing certain things. Like, it's gonna be bad for you. So
I will say that. I'm gonna say that if she was being, you know, ridiculously derogatory or having excessive nudity or something in the videos, I understand it.
Right.
But if not, definitely, in any case, want to wish her luck on her rap career, because it seemed like that's going to be the route that she's going to be taking now.
Right.
But definitely, man. I do believe that we do need to encourage people to be able to have a life outside of what they do professionally within reason. And it definitely, but like you said, it definitely needs to be some type of professionalism. But at the same time, if you just doing something to where it's like, an old white man doesn't find it cool, or he's like, oh, that's weird, I don't like that.
See, with that, I don't think it's that. I really don't think that is that. Because like I say, this guy's a principal. You talking about she's just a teacher. Mm-hmm. He's the leader of the school. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But his content is super clean. It's super clean. Right. So in my opinion, it had to be something about what she's saying, something that she's doing in a video, maybe on Instagram, Facebook. It has to be. I don't think that, because that's a lawsuit. You can't say that somebody can't, if it's clean content, you can't say that somebody can't do that because they're a teacher, just because, you know, that's a lawsuit. If that's the case, what you're saying.
Could be.
Yeah.
I think we've seen it before, though. Like, certain people get judged harsher in similar situations, and it's not fair, and it gets processed.
Well, I think you know, if that was the case for her, she definitely needs to look into legal action. If everything that she was doing, the things that she, you know, whatever they said that she did that, you know, caused her to lose her job, if it was clean, if it wasn't nothing derogatory, nothing that kids couldn't watch, yeah, she should definitely take legal action, for sure.
I feel like this was a good one, though. Need controversial black business shout-outs. Everybody ain't out here just doing regular good old stuff, wholesome stuff. You know, some people be pushing the envelopes. Matter of fact, I don't think it's illegal. She ain't, like, license. Let's listen to just a little bit.
Oh, we stretching this black business shout out. Running around the city, owe me money, shit is silly. Buy my money just like 50 hoes. Mad, I got the power in the juice. Been talking shit, I'm talking 4819. This nigga
I heard this. I heard this nigga texting.
Bitches, we listened to literally 10 seconds of that shit, and we heard hoes, bitches, and niggas. Yes. So go follow you. No, no disrespect to you, but hey, go all in with this rap shit. Go all in with it. It got you fired from your career job. Go all in with it. Like I hope you make it.
Rich Dreams, we support you. We support you. It's Rich Dreams. We love.
I hope you make it. Cause you done squandered that teaching shit. That's over with.
Black business shout out. Jesus. All right. moving right along.
Hey, that was a different Black business shout out right there.
Guys, you gotta switch it up, man.
But just so you have Rich Dreams full support. And if you ever want to come on, and talk to what happened to you, hit us up.
Straight up.
Be open to talk. We'd be open to have a conversation.
Have some honey economics.
We'd be open. Yes, sir.
That sound like a gangster teacher name. Right? Teacher rapper, honey economics.
Then she taught economics. That's what it was.
I bet you she did. Teacher. She bought that money, bought that Skrilla. You understand?
Zane. I heard some moving around. Sound like some shit fell up in there.
Man. Well, you had that Mr. Biggs look on you, man. What the hell is going on? Who that? Well, I was talking about that with somebody the other day. It was one of my homies that got kids. Talking about some, you know, when shit just get a little too quiet. And you have to. The hell?
Look, what y'all doing up in there?
Look, man.
Yeah, man.
All right. We had too much sports going on this week. Let's see, man, where we at? Your boy, another hit for Dallas. It don't seem like Dallas having a decent offseason so far. I mean, you know.
Yeah, sports. We talking about sports now?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Your boy Leighton Vander Esch didn't retire. He decided to go and hang it up.
Yeah. I think he should have with the injury that he had. That's I believe he should have.
His latest one. I mean, because he had a slew of them throughout his whole career, seemed like.
Yeah, yeah. So man, take your bread. I'm sure I'm sure you'd have made millions of dollars.
Sure.
Man, take your bread, call it a day. You had a good career. You made a name for yourself. Well, I don't think he was ever an elite linebacker, but he made a name for himself. He was pretty good for a couple years there. It ain't worth.
Thank you, Cowboy, Calvin. I liked it.
Yeah, it ain't. It's not worth risking. Probably, I'm sure, being paralyzed the rest of your life. So.
Yeah, that's tough. Now, shout out to him, man. At least he got to play in the league, man. He got to realize a dream. But yeah, man, it seemed like Cowboys kind of struggling through the offseason, man. We gonna see. But you know what? When we felt like they've had great off seasons, it turns out it didn't really help them as much. So maybe this is
no.
You're not having it.
These are the Cowboys we're talking about, man.
Not having no positivity.
Come on, man. I've had clients come up to the suite and say, "Man, I'm a Houston Texans fan now."
Oh,
dumb me like that, man. Dude, say I'm a Houston Texans fan.
Hold on,
I said, man, God damn.
How quickly the tide turns, ain't it?
Right,
man. Saints making a little move, you know.
Yeah, I seen that.
We got Chase Young.
Got Chase Young. I like that. We definitely needed another DN. I think Cam, he getting up there and he's slowing down a bit for sure last year. So I think Chase add more depth.
Man, that before he'd be getting kind of hurt too, Davenport, the guy we be having on the other side of Cam.
Davenport ain't on the team no more. We lost him last year.
Oh.
Yeah. We lost him last year. And I forgot where he went, but we definitely needed it for depth, though, because it seemed like we lose a D lineman every year.
Mm.
Like, we've been losing a D lineman almost every year. So I'm excited about that. Who else we get? We get we got Cedric Wilson. He gonna be a decent receiver. Who else we get? We got somebody else. What's his last name? Is Gay. What's it? Is it Willie Gay from KC, the linebacker?
I think it might be.
Yeah, his last name's Gay though. Number 50.
Yep.
We got
Willie Gay Jr.
Yeah. We got him. So I think we added some decent little mid-level pieces. I honestly, on offense, I don't think we. I think if this O coordinator comes in, add some movement to the offense. You know, and he come in and he can do what some type of offense to kind of similar to what they did in San Fran. Okay. I think because we got the weapons, bro. We have receivers. I think Perry gonna have a big year this year. If he can get the opportunities and he's healthy.
You know, Olave, he gonna be wanting to show up.
Olave, Shaheed, the deep threat. You know, I believe what is his name? Ladarius Miller. The running back, our rookie Latavius. Running back from TCU. He got drafted last year.
Oh, I'm thinking about a different Miller.
Yeah, I think he's number 25. I think he's going to have a better year this year, too. I think he's going to have a pretty good year this year. So I don't think it was just the play calling for the most part. I think we had pieces to for sure win the division, but we wasn't consistent as an offense, man. And I think our defense suffered because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see, man. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm going to be as delusional as I was last year rooting for them boys.
Yeah. Man, you got to come out here for the Dallas game.
That's a bet.
Yeah, got to come out for the Dallas game. Once they release the dates, I'll send it to y'all.
Do that.
I'll send it to y'all.
Man, this wasn't on the docket, but you brought it up the other day. That damn Tyson versus goddamn, what's his name? What's the YouTube guy name?
Oh, Jake Paul.
Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Who you got, bro?
Tyson.
You got Tyson. Same.
Got Tyson.
I just feel like this is gonna be the most actual technical boxing threat he's actually faced. I feel like he's not really faced anybody who was a technical boxer yet. Because it's mostly been other personalities and then like MMA guys, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But basically, I don't think he's fought a professional boxer that's actively boxing right now.
Which, I mean, technically he still wouldn't have been, but or still won't have been. But
right, he's still not. See, that's the thing with Jake. Like, he wanna be he so-called wants to be respected as a boxer, but you're not fighting anybody that's actually boxing right now.
Yeah.
You fight guys from UFC, you fighting retired guys, you fighting basketball players. You're not gonna go. And I get it. Don't get me wrong. Make your bread, bro.
It's smart. Very smart marketing.
I ain't knocking that at all. But this act that you want to be respected as a boxer is BS, because you would go and be a boxer and fight active fighters. And this is just exhibitions you're doing. You're only doing exhibitions, which you're making a hell of a lot of money off of. And honestly, if I was him, I'd keep doing it.
Now listen to what I'm saying.
It's BS. Don't get me wrong. It's a BS narrative that he's trying to push, that he wants to be respected as a great boxer or a real boxer, and he want to fight Canelo eventually. Like,
That's cute to say.
But we know why you're doing it, man. You're making a ton of money off of this shit. And kudos to you.
Shout out, man. Gotta get that bread.
No doubt.
But yeah, my only thing is I feel like Tyson ain't gonna really, because it's an exposition,
Not on Webster. I know Webster ain't mispronouncing that.
Hey, man. I'm still a product of the negative parish public education system. I don't get what y'all say. But
flaw somewhere.
Yeah, man. But because of the exhibition, because of his age, I don't feel like he gonna really be coming in trying to murder him, which I think is gonna, I don't know. It just kind of softens up the fight to me, because it feel like, you know what we used to seeing from Tyson. He trying to go in there and destroy somebody, but now he all centered and, you know, he found his chi and shit now. So
yeah.
But in any case, I think he's still gonna beat him. He'll still beat him in points. Was it something else? I think I had something else in sports and I can't remember. Look at my handy dandy ESPN. Oh yeah. March Madness. By the time y'all watching this, March Madness has begun. You doing a bracket this year?
Never done one.
Never done one. Uh-uh. I usually do one, but now I'm just like, I'm off it. Like last year, matter of fact, the year Jason Tatum and Zion, all them boys was in it, that was the last year I really was actually paying attention of who was in college.
Right.
And now I'm just like, I'll hear the big names at the draft. And I never was good anyway at picking them. So, but yeah, man. So if you're into that, get your brackets in line, man. March Madness is lit.
Yes, sir.
Let's see here. Anything I missed so far? For all you gamers out there, man, make sure you follow in that young boy phase, man.
Tap in.
Follow that boy on Twitter.
I had 4 viewers on one of my video on one of my lives the other night, man. That was tapped in with your boy.
What?
I was on Madden.
You coming up?
I'm coming up in the game, man. 4 viewers. Let's get it, man.
Hey, bro, don't hurt them now.
Let's run it up.
Yeah. You good boy popping, man.
Right. Turn me up, man.
I love it. Your phase all day, baby.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Y'all know what time it is. The movie for the week.
Yes.
Man. You talk about a classic, boy.
You ain't never even seen this movie, man. Stop playing, bro.
You brought one out the woodwork.
You ain't never even seen this movie, man. Stop playing, man.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, bro. You be bringing a lot of them that I had watched, but it's like I was so young when I watched them, I really didn't even know what was going on.
Me neither.
And everything.
Yeah. So, boy, the one we have tonight is Goodfellas, man.
This is heavy hitter.
I'm a big mob movie fan. Mob documentaries, shit. Like I like a lot of that. Genre of television and movies. So
yeah.
Goodfellas is is one of my top 5 movies, favorite movies ever. But yeah, man, this is basically about the mob families up in New York. There's a guy by the name of Henry Hill. He was an associate of the Lucchese family, which is one of the 5 mob families in New York, the New York area. But he was a guy that, you know, he was Italian and he was half Italian, half Irish. So he could never be a part of the mob. You had to be 100%. Your mom and your dad had to be Italian for you to be a member of the mob. So he was a guy, man, kind of low level guy, I guess, but what they portrayed in the movie, he was getting a lot of bread. And, you know,
young dude, end, too.
Exactly. He started young. But, you know, he got into, you know, some dope dealing, you know, and basically ended up ratting to save his life.
Thing is, with that, no matter what type of gangster he is, mob or whoever, it usually always in the same.
Somebody gonna tell, man.
Yep.
So that's basically that's you know, that's basically it. Always come down to that though. At some point, somebody got to tell. That's normally how they solve their cases. Somebody tell them.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the movie overall, though, man? What was your thoughts on the movie?
Man, to me, you know me. It just spoke to how. How can I say this? That cream of color always just softens things.
What are you talking about?
Yep, you know I'm gonna take it there.
How we get hit, man? What are we talking about?
God damn right, I'm gonna take it.
Now, how you get race into this, man?
You goddamn right.
Listen,
because you ain't here,
y'all.
You lost over the Mulianis, and them talking about Sammy Davis Jr. and all that.
Hold on, I have my audience know. I don't know why Rod try to act like he's just this extremist. I have y'all know that he had a Caucasian guardian whom he loved very much, whom we all love very much to this day. So I don't know why he do. I don't know why he do white folks like that, man. Well, he know he fool with white folks too, man. Come on now.
But I gotta call the shit because that's the problem. They get cool and nobody ever calls the shit.
They get looked over.
And everything is cool. But look. It was just the description of how his wife described him. Oh, just blue collar guys who just, you know, sometimes did a little extra and bent the rules to get ahead.
Right.
When he out there in the streets busting niggas down, pulling out racks from under his waistband and shit. You know, I'm not gonna lie, it kind of scared me when he would do things like this, but it also turned me on.
Yeah.
And talk about
man, you know, a woman want a gangster and a gentleman at the same time, bro. You know that.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Come on now.
It just
that's beyond race. That's everyone. Yeah. Somewhere deep down.
My thing is, it's just funny to me how stuff like this get highlighted, and it's like it's such a cool thing of how they did it and they were so smart, blase blah. But when you watch a gangster movie about niggas dealing drugs, it's just looked on upon and so downtrodden, and niggas just a terrible human being and he ruining his community and all that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying somewhere, but there are gangster movies and gangster series that also glamorize dope dealing amongst the black community. There are some. Think about BML.
I think
with them, man, I think it's more so the lifestyle and not just the illegal activities. Which is a lot of that in there.
Yeah.
But shaking down
the businesses and all that.
Yeah. How they live, which they show the same type of shit in the black gangster movies.
Yeah.
But hey.
Y'all hear the daddy voice?
Goddamn ass up, man!
Y'all hear that daddy voice come out, man?
But yeah, man. I think I get what you're saying, but I think to a degree, it's always somewhat glamorized within the movies. But this guy, man, it's one of those things. Like this movie, just the characters in it. Take Jimmy Burke, for example. Mm-hmm. He kind of remind me of course, on a different level and, you know, on some different stuff. Do you remember AWACS?
Mm-hmm.
Remember AWACS? AWACS on Menace to Society. AWACS. Mm-hmm. You don't...
What was his character?
Give it him.
I can't remember just by the name. What was his character? What was his character doing?
AWACS on Menace to Society.
I just don't know his name. If you tell me something about his character, I probably remember.
Okay, the guy, remember when they was going to kill the guys that shot Kane's cousin at the beginning.
Okay.
Still in the car. Remember the guy that was driving them? And he was like, both of y'all shit y'all ass up. Y'all acting scared and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So he was like an older guy. Hanging with those young guys with Odar and Kane. So that's kind of how the Jimmy Burke character is in this movie. Not like that, but he was the older guy and they were his two youngest, Jimmy and a character named, what was his name? Tommy. His name was Tommy. So, like I say, Jimmy and Henry, which is the main character, they couldn't be in the mob at all. So they were basically just associates, just making money with them. Yeah. And man, it was crazy because, you know, in that lifestyle, like it's different in like the gang stuff and the mob shit. When something happens in the mob lifestyle, what I've noticed through watching numerous of documentaries and movies, normally the person that kills you is your best friend.
Mm.
They get the guy, and it's always, you never see it coming. They get the guy that's closest to you because he's the easiest one. You know, he'll be able to get you the easiest.
True.
So that lifestyle right there, man, is much more grimy.
Ruthless.
Oh, man, it's much more grimy.
Yeah.
But I think with just in a movie like Henry, I think he got a little in over his head. I think he had a drug problem in the movie. So he was on cocaine. So, mm-hmm. of course, a lot of that is kind of altering how you move. And, you know, maybe some stuff he wouldn't have done had he not been on drugs. But I think he looked at it like, man, at the end when he snitched, I think he just looked at it like, man, if I don't snitch, I'm gonna be dead anyways. Like they're gonna kill me.
Yeah.
You know. So I believe that's why he told in the end. But man, the lifestyle that some of those top level guys in the mob live, man, especially back in like the 80s, 70s on back, bro, like they literally ran the country, bro. Like
untouched.
They literally ran the country to where, you know, it was said that what was his name? Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
Hoover. They said one of the mob guys caught him in the bathroom with another man. And basically Hoover for the longest denied that he knew anything of a mob. At least publicly said that he don't believe that there's a mob, but from stories stories from some of the old mobsters, it was because they had this on him.
Ooh,
yeah. So he kind of left them alone for the longest, and I believe that's why they were able to do so much and control so much, bro. They controlled the trucking system, the trucking industry. They controlled that in like the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Bro, that was the only shit. Nursing and trucking was the only shit going in COVID. That's how big the truck is, you know. Shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, bro. They had a lock on the country, bro.
Yeah.
They had a lock on the country back in those days.
Nah, man. My take on the movie, though, for real, I think it just teaches a lot about respect, and then also how just little things that you might do to somebody can count against you in that type of space and get you out of there.
Yeah.
I mean,
bro, I wouldn't be able to, I would never be able to deal with that.
Bro, I'm talking about something as little as a joke. If somebody take it the wrong way, and you
will kill you. And it's just too much to worry about, man. You know, you got to worry about people trying to extort you.
Yeah, man.
You see in the movie when Tommy and Henry was at this little restaurant. This was early in the movie. It was at this little restaurant, and the owner came over, told Tommy. Now Tommy was, he was the wild one. He was the wild one of the bunch.
Oh yeah.
You tell Tommy like, yo, basically tell him like, yo, man, you got 7 bands on your tab, man. I need you to, you know, give me something. Give me something.
Yep.
And Tommy get mad and hit him over the head with a damn bottle. Like, come on, bro.
Yep.
So homie, the owner, he goes to Tommy Boss, which the guy was a captain in the Lucchese family. He was a captain.
Mm-hmm.
So for people that don't know, it's the boss, 2 underbosses, and the consigliere, and Dennis captains and soldiers. See, I just know a lot about this shit, man. Like
I see
my movie. But he was the captain. And
he tell
the captain. He like, yo, man, like, I need help with Tommy. Like, he's doing too much. Like, I'm scared when I walk out my house.
Yeah.
Like, I need help. Like, basically saying he needs security. So he basically tell the captain, like, yo, let's partner up. And that way, I know if you're in business with me, Tommy won't do anything to me because you're his boss.
Right.
Man, they did the shit. And basically, what they was doing, the mob guys, they were saying, okay, we'll partner with you. We'll make sure Tommy's out of your hair. And what they would do is take the products, such as beer, liquor, they would get it and sell it for half price. Now, the owner is buying this shit.
Yeah.
But they would get it once it comes in the store, in the club, they would sell it out the back door for half price because it's all profit. So they don't give a damn if they're not getting the full, what old boy paid for it. They know they getting, if it costs 200, they gonna get 100, and that's all profit.
Right.
So they did that until the nigga went bankrupt and he couldn't afford it no more.
Yep.
And that's how they do you, bro. Like, that's how they was doing people. Like,
they would burn it down, collect the insurance money.
Man, they would and collect the insurance money. Blow, set it on fire and collect the insurance money. But that's how they was doing people, man. They was just, you know,
cold-blooded, man.
Yeah, man. They was bleeding you, man. So,
and then that's the crazy part. Like, look, so Tommy did that. Then when old boy came home from doing that bid, he was talking a little shit to him about how he used to shine shoes.
Right.
Messing around, got him murked just for that.
Well,
just for that.
See, in the
movie, he was made. He wasn't even supposed to get murked.
Made guy. And that's what got Tommy killed later on in the movie. That's what got him killed. You can't made men are untouchable unless it was an order to kill them.
Yeah,
unless it was an order from the boss to kill him or his captain. And then even then, if they're made, you got to holler at the boss.
I think Rick Ross said that on his song one time. Man, you can't just run up on – I'm not the type of nigga you just run up on the 7-Eleven and just do what you want to do.
You can't kill him. You can't kill
him. You got to get permission.
And Tommy, the thing was – like, so the story behind that was the Jimmy Burke guy. Remember I was telling you about Jimmy Burke? He had some of old boy – homie's businesses while he was in jail. He took over. So the real story behind that is homie wanted his businesses back now that he's out.
He was jealous and was like,
it's convenient now to go ahead and kill him.
get him out of the way.
We get him out of the way now, so I ain't got no competition. I ain't got nobody trying to take nothing back. We good. And and he kind of did the same when they did the bank robbery.
Right.
The Lufthansa bank robbery, which I think they got like $6 million, which was at the time, as far as the heist, that's the highest. That was the highest amount of money that had been taken at one time, in one heist. He started killing off everybody that was associated with it just so he wouldn't have to pay him. And that's how they did, bro.
Cutthroat.
It was grimy. It was grimy, yep. Bro. The same guys that you going in there and stealing with.
Yeah.
The guy who sent us to go steal is the same guy that's getting us killed.
No. No honor amongst thieves, man.
None. None.
That's crazy, bro. That's a good, I think that's a good takeaway from it.
And I don't understand. And with that being said, I don't understand why motherfuckers get mad when niggas snitch. That come with the game too. But for a long time now, that been coming with the game too. Yeah.
So, yeah, like, yeah, if at this point you ain't seen all there is to see, all the negative aspects aside of, of course everybody wants the money and the power and everything else. But if you ain't seen all the negative ways it could go wrong by now, you obviously didn't. You didn't care. You didn't want to prepare. Because if you do see it, more than likely you say, you know what? This probably ain't the route I want to go.
This ain't the life. This ain't the life.
I think what I'm gonna do is follow my rich dream. There we go. Y'all wasn't ready for me. I'm potting up in this thing. Y'all wasn't ready for me to do. But nah, man, that's a cold movie, man. Watch Goodfellas if you hadn't seen it.
Yeah. Starring Ray Liotta and Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro.
Stars to the cast, for real.
Yeah, oh man, all-star cast. All-star cast. Especially amongst mob movies.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah. Crimp de la crimp.
Hey. I think they could have played a better person to play Liotta part, because the way he would do that damn laugh, he looked crazy as hell, boy.
Yeah. Nah, he did a good job. I thought from what they described of Tommy, I think Joe Pesci did a good job.
I think he had the best. He had the best role.
Yeah. The guy, the real guy, his name's Tommy DeSimone.
Mm.
I think he was tall though. The only thing. He was tall. He was actually at 6 feet plus,
But, makes more sense.
Right. But he did. They say he was a maniac like that, Yeah. Killed the dude for tell him to go fuck himself. And he had been talking shit to the man all night.
Shot
him in my foot, nigga.
For bringing him the drink slow, man.
I can't say go fuck yourself, man. You done shot me in my foot.
It's cold, bro. Come on, dog. That's a different level of morals that they live in, by boy.
Different. Different.
Man.
Look, he shot the man in the foot and go tell him. Don't make a big deal out of this.
Don't give me a set.
Spider, let's not make a big deal out of this now. Don't get me angry. I'm like, wait a minute. You shot him.
Then the next time, man, your foot looking about as big as your head.
Like, dragging on it. Now, when the man go say, go fuck yourself, you want to shoot him up and then say, I'm a good shot. Come on, man. Hey, different. They different over there, man.
For real. Oh man, that's a good one right there. I like that. Man, only thing else we got to tell y'all today, man, is make sure y'all out here turning up with the new sweaters, man. We got the see the damn sweater.
You got to click on the video. Is that the video? That might be a video. Yeah, that's a video.
Computer. Nah, my computer just going slow, telling me to wait.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Well, It wasn't moving or nothing. It wouldn't let me do nothing at first. Huh. It still ain't. But yeah.
Yeah, but anywho, that's the picture.
Make sure y'all run to go get the new sweaters, man.
Man, the pink ones.
I'm gonna try to work out and get my. There we go.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, man, the pink ones, man. Ladies been buying up those pink ones. The khakis.
They showing the khakis.
The khakis, the black ones, they selling good. Like these sweaters, man. They've been doing well, man. Since I dropped them, pleasantly surprised. I didn't know since it got kind of hot a little early this year.
Hey, man, we still in between. We still in the in between phases, you know.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be a little a little drop off due to that, but. Has been none, man. And then, you know, also I know that they wear sweaters out here in the spring and summer, but
When it's 50s, 40s in the morning and it warm up to 70s, and then when the sun go back down, you need a nice little sweater, bro.
Yeah. Nah, man. Oh, and they're dope, man. So you can wear them out, you know. You can hit the club in them, you can go wherever in them, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got you wear it for style for sure. That's what they for.
Straight like that, man. Get your swag on with the Rich Dreams.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Man, we appreciate y'all. Make sure y'all keep tapping in.
Also, hold on. Also, I just got the samples done for the female and male drops that I'm gonna do for the spring. So they should be coming soon within the next 3 weeks to a month. We should have something new to drop. Hopefully, I can get them done before the Ramir Market event so that I can have something new, I guess, newer for that, for the 13th. But I'll definitely have some new stuff in for the July pop up for the culture. Shout out to them. We'll definitely have a lot of new stuff in.
Love to see it, man. Y'all make sure y'all tap in, get that link right there. It should be in our bios on both of the pages. Make sure you clicking in, order that online, or if you're in the Dallas area, stop at Redbird. Man, for my boy G, I am Big Gravy, reminding y'all to keep chasing your dreams before they become your nightmares. It's the Rich Dream Show.
Yes, sir. Peace.